At just 5 feet tall and 31 years old, Julie Simon does not look like your typical farmer. But then again, she's never done things the prescribed way. Most locals know Julie as Chef Julie, the Wunderkind executive chef behind Thomas Hill Organics restaurant in Paso Robles, and most recently, Foremost in downtown SLO, which has since closed. Her vibrant global cuisine helped usher in the farm-to-table movement in SLO County and push the boundaries on what and how we locals eat. In the process, she also brought up the next wave of culinary talent, people like Kenny Bigwood, who worked in the kitchen with Julie at both Thomas Hill and Foremost. Today, he's executive chef at Granada Bistro in SLO.
You can tell the amount of effort and love that she puts in everything that she does. She taught me everything that I know about working in a professional kitchen and in a restaurant. I came from nothing, and everything I do every day is probably taught to me by her at some point in the past.
Or there's Kyle Rucker, the executive chef at Sidecar in SLO, who cooked with Julie at Foremost for 2.5 years, which he calls
probably the best industry 2.5 years of my life. When she gives you a project, you tend to excel more than you would if you were doing it yourself because you're cooking for Julie Simon. It's a different beast when you're working with Julie. It's just everything turns out how she wants it, but done by you. So you almost feel accomplished for what you did, but it was because of her.
Full disclosure, I've been a fan of Julie's food and her fearlessness for years. When word got out she'd left Foremost to start a farm of all things, I was intrigued. What would make a young chef want to ditch the industry at the top of her game?
Anouk, it's okay. It's okay.
I meet Julie on a bright fall morning out at her farm, which she likes to call her garden. In baggy khakis and a white tank top, she greets me with an armful of firecracker dahlias and her little dog Anouk, who looks sideways at me from beside Julie's leg.
Don't get close to Julie. Got it.
Planted entirely by Julie herself, the garden surrounds a mirror pond with a weeping willow tree at its center. The water reflects rows of black Aztec corn, crawling with melon vines that Julie has planted together in an Indian style of permaculture she's trying out. Flowers, peppers, onions, herbs, melons, and squash radiate out in concentric circles around the pond, warming their leaves as the sun rises. We sit on a vintage sofa in the tomato patch, which I realize is a perfect representation of Julie herself, elegant and rugged, all at the same time. A style she says comes from growing up in two very different environments in her native France.
I would say that I had two very strong upbringings. I was born in Paris in a rather privileged home and, you know, going to private school and having country homes and in a very eclectic town, right? A lot of culture, very eccentric family. And then later on, and still within my childhood, we moved to the southwest of France, which was much more rural, small community, not a whole lot of happenings, big farming community. And it's kind of funny, you're a byproduct of your environment, right? Yeah. So I definitely believe that I inherited both of those worlds. It took me a while to understand which one I identified the most with. And I kept on going back and forth for a long time. How do you want to live your life, you know? And I realized that you can be both.
Julie's connection to the U.S. begins with her grandfather, who was American and blessed much of her family with dual citizenship, including her aunt and uncle, who had used it to relocate to California. In the meantime, back in France, Julie left home for university in Bordeaux, where she planned to study law. But that plan didn't exactly pan out.
You know that you have to do your part, and I mean, I consider myself a relatively intelligent person, mm-hmm. But at the same time, I needed to be a little bit more practical of a study, and I didn't get that with law. And I think they would take you many years into your studies to actually feel like you're heading some kind of direction, like maybe 8 years.
Sometime during the middle of her university studies, Julie's aunt and uncle invited her to California, where they'd settled on an olive farm in Templeton. It was an offer she couldn't refuse.
I was right about to turn 18, and I arrived with two suitcases and no ambition whatsoever. And, you know, I was just going to spend a few months, and I was going to learn English, and I was going to get a job, and and it seemed very simple. And then where I arrived, it was not that simple.
Finding a job proved more difficult than she'd expected. But when Julie's uncle saw how eager she was in the kitchen, he suggested she find work cooking in a restaurant, a position that would have been out of her reach or unthinkable in France.
That was never something that I would have even dreamed of. You know, from where I come from, working in a kitchen is a blue-collar job. It's definitely not welcome to women, or young women for that matter. And you need some kind of skill set. And I'm so grateful that he pushed me in that direction. But back then, there was no shortage of labor in the kitchen, you know? So getting a job in the kitchen was a whole lot more difficult, especially welcoming the young French girl. It's like, what are you going to do, you know? We have a brigade of people that can work twice as hard and that can actually endure. What are you going to be doing?
Eventually, Chef Pandy Pearson got in touch with Julie for help plating desserts during the summer months at her Morro Bay restaurant, Windows on the Water. To Julie, the prospect was thrilling.
That was actually some of like the most exhilarating months ever. I can't remember like being that chipper and that excited about a job, you know? It gave you that feeling that you belong to something that was bigger. It was very busy restaurants, and especially in the summer. And it was really kind of this challenge of give as much as you can, and more often than not in very uncomfortable situation. And I don't know, you felt like you were proving your worth, really. And especially for me, I felt like I needed to prove more than the rest of them, because I didn't speak the language, because I was the outcast in so many ways. But then I look back and I was like, we're all outcasts. That's where we were so united, in fact. You know, we find each other and somehow we belong to something when all of us never really felt like we belonged to anything.
Although it probably didn't feel like it to Julie at the time, her star was quickly on the rise, moving from one professional kitchen to another, and eventually moving into the role of executive chef at Thomas Hill Organics and then Foremost Wine Company. The style she became known for reflected the way she herself likes to eat.
Bold, fresh ingredients, and ethnic foods. I don't like something that I'll get bored of like halfway through. I like when each bite brings you something different. Otherwise, you're just finishing your plate. Even in Paris or in the southwest of France, we've always had access to amazing ingredients, and typically not classically beautiful ingredients. We don't have, you know, corn waxed apples and whatnot. You know, usually they're not uniform. Maybe they even have bruises on, and, you know, they're not shiny, but they taste what they're meant to be. And you only get them the season that they're available at. And that's the pillars of cooking. It's great ingredients. I've relied for a very long time on just good ingredients. That's my clutch.
Everyone, it seemed, had noticed Julie. She showed up in W Magazine when she was at Thomas Hill in an article about the emergence of Paso Robles as a legit new wine and food town. Wine Enthusiast Magazine named Foremost one of its top 100 restaurants when Julie was at the helm. But it was all getting to be a bit too much for her. And then...
I turned 30. That was huge. And I turned 30 in the Himalayas. That was huge, too. I was at a difficult time, I think, at Foremost then, because I, you know, I was really questioning my role there and my capacity.
To celebrate her 30th birthday, Julie wanted to be far away on a mountaintop. So she and her longtime boyfriend, Tyler, both avid backpackers,
bought tickets to the furthest place they could think of, Nepal.
We miss our flight. It was such an ordeal to get there. And then our first packing expedition, we get caught into a hailstorm and we run out of money on the mountain. That's a big no-no, by the way, because nobody takes Venmo, let alone find an ATM. And we realized you'd be climbing for hours with just a vague idea of where you were going to stop next. And a vague idea what the trail looked like. You know, you download a GPS map, but it's only accurate as I'm talking about the Himalayas, right? And all of a sudden, the weather can change on you, and you're trapped in the middle of nowhere, and perhaps you'll be never found. That was not something that I knew I was signing up for going in. No clue. And, you know, it takes a few days to actually get comfortable with that idea. You could disappear and nobody will find you. And you have to be okay with it. And rather, it became like a very empowering idea, actually.
The authenticity of the Nepali people impacted Julie too.
I've never met that many families that were just genuinely happy and had nothing. I mean, they're still recovering from a devastating earthquake and they live sometimes in very, very mediocre conditions. And yet they have this life force that is astonishing. It was an amazing thing to witness, really.
Julie and Tyler made it back to SLO, but she couldn't shake the experience she'd had on that mountain. The question became,
how do we simplify our lives and how do we live a more meaningful life and still comply with the reality of our economy, you know?
She realized she needed to move on from Foremost. And soon after that, she decided she was going to start farming.
Going back to something that felt much more real.
Though she loves cooking and leading a team, Julie realized chefs are expected to do and be much more. An accountant, a PR genius, and
the face of your business, and you have to entertain and you have to fit the idea of what a chef is and what it looks like and its personality. And I was never really interested in doing that more than cooking and leading a team, really, because that's a huge part of it.
Of course. She didn't know much about farming, so when she left Foremost, she asked to become an intern with Bill and Barbara Spencer at Windrose Farm in Paso Robles.
My first week was 108 degrees, and we trellised tomatoes for a couple of days. I mean, I thought I worked hard before, but I don't remember something that was that hard.
After 6 months, she came away from Windrose Farm with enough understanding to tackle her own project. A space between soft hills in Edna Valley, around the contours of a pond. She met the owners of the land through Kyle Rucker, her former co-worker at Foremost, and they've allowed her to irrigate, plant, and cultivate her garden as a permaculture and biodiversity experiment of sorts.
Right before I started the project, we went to visit my family and friends, brought back some heirloom seeds varieties that I had grown up with. So I definitely put a lot of melons in the ground. And they've done really, really well, actually. Organizing the planting had a lot to do with how could I make a full dinner out of it. I know that that was kind of a guideline.
Julie also uses the garden as community-supported agriculture, with a very small group of members paying in to get a share of its harvest. She says it won't put any kids she decides to have through college, but she likes to keep it manageable at this point.
I chose to keep it simple because I want to make sure that the customers that I'm handling, I'm able to provide healthily through the whole growing season. And because I don't know exactly what that looks like yet, I just prefer to play safe so I know that I can keep them going long enough. And also I did welcome in the CSA people that I know would be happy to grow the farm and forgiving too, and understanding that some things might not come up the way we thought it would.
To Julie's surprise, she hasn't needed their forgiveness yet because the garden has thrived, which she credits to the crops themselves.
Plants are programmed to survive. So even if you mistreat them, most likely they're gonna find a way to kick back.
Still, she won't be opening the CSA to the public quite yet. The process will take time, and besides, she learned on her summit of that mountain in Nepal, success isn't necessarily about volume or scaling up. Instead, it might be enough to just ride the wave, to live within her means, or, as she says,
to be gentle with myself. To understand that we are all somewhere in the world doing our own part.